Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to a special edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Had my show last hour, my regularly scheduled show, and we're doing another one because, and you know, I would only do this for really special guests, and I got a special guest in studio today who I'll introduce in a moment. But at first, of course, I can't start a show without my quotes of the day. I mean, I did a couple of quotes of the day already, so these could be did I use yesterday's or today's? I forget. So these might be one day old, but they're still wonderful quotes, and I'm sure you're going to love them. So let's get started with our quotes from the universe and from Abraham. First, from the universe. One of the most comforting thoughts of all is knowing that all roads lead home. Even more comforting is understanding that you never left. From all of us back home, the universe. Quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. They're so much fun. I guess trying to remember, you know, and it's interesting because I do know a lot of people who often think, oh, I come from someplace else. I'm looking to get back home. And the truth is we are home. This is our home, regardless of where we may feel we come from, whether we feel like we're aliens on this planet. For now, this is home. There is no other place. So welcome back home. You never left. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Abraham says. You have heard of buyer's remorse? It really could be accurately called desirer's remorse. Desirer's remorse is having a desire but not maintaining the vibrational frequency of it. You are letting the reality that you are observing control your vibrational atmosphere, and therefore you are not staying up to speed with your own desire. Your desire isn't wrong. You didn't make a mistake. You just didn't stay up to speed with your desire. Abraham. Interesting. A very interesting quote. This is one I haven't really seen before. I mean, Abraham often talks about vibrational frequency and staying in alignment with things, but in staying alignment with our desires, you know, and just kind of relates to the quote from the prior show as well about sort of feeling that resistance. So why do we feel a resistance? Why are we not feeling so good about a desire we have? Because we've fallen out of alignment with it. We're not really keeping up to it. And I'm sure many of you out there have experienced this where you wanted, I don't know, a larger apartment, a bigger house, and you kind of get in there and then it's like, it doesn't feel quite as good as you thought it would because you're not keeping up with the vibrational frequency of this new environment, of this house. Or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's a location. It's not about the physical thing. It's about how we feel inside. And that was what our prior quote was really about, was about feeling good about and staying in alignment. And this very much in the same vein of, you know, how good do you feel about your desires? How good do you feel about these things, which will come your way? They just might not be here yet. So, it's good just to remember that, you know, it's all here. We're all home. So two kind of interesting quotes from the universe and from Abraham. And of course, we'll have more quotes for you next week. So now it is my pleasure as I flip the camera around and focus us on Itzhak to introduce to you Itzhak Biri. Itzhak bridges many sacred indigenous traditions entrusted to him with a relevant and present-day shamanic approach to living in our digital age. He empowers people around the world to connect to their innate shamanic gifts. He shares the conviction that we are all shamans and are able to interact and learn from the unseen and seen worlds in order to live in balance with our communities, with nature, and most importantly, with ourselves. Itzhak has been initiated into several shamanic traditions. I'm not even going to try and pronounce these because I know I'm going to screw them up. And he is also author of the new book, The Gift of Shamanism, Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams, and Journeys to Other Realms. And we are very happy for his return to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, Itzhak.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's good to see you here, especially after what you just told me before the show started. it's good to see you and have you here. So, I'm sure many of our audience are familiar with you because my crowd, they're pretty conscious. They're pretty aware of stuff. But, of course, there might be a few people, like I can see from the back end. We got some people from around the world, like Sweden and France and Bolivia and China. So for those people who don't know you, how did a nice Jewish boy from Israel get into shamanism?
Well, you should ask first, how come a Russian, Belarusian, Polish descent who his parents moved to Israel, who was born in Israel, came to New York and met shamans from Ecuador, Brazil, and other countries. So we are all connected.
Absolutely.
And we all have a life purpose or life work that we do, regardless of where we come from. You know, only recently, a few years ago, I found out that my grandfather was a Kabbalistic rabbi in Poland.
Really?
And he was a healer, too. And his work was really concentrated on the fight between good and evil, which is a major work that I do for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And so the past and the present really coincidentally happened.
Come together.
I think that that's really the beauty of the work in shamanism, that we truly realize our life purpose and life work here on this earth, connecting with our ancestors' work. And hopefully we can chart a better future for our grandchildren, which I have three of them now. It's a personal journey for me to make sure that at least I can do something to make their future and their children and their children to live in a world that is a little bit better place than I came into.
Yeah, leaving the world a better place than when we found it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned sort of the ancestral work and the connection. And when I was younger and very scientifically oriented, I really didn't believe much in this idea of like ancestral work and, you know, connection to our ancestors. But as I've become older, I've realized like there really is real significance and something to it. Even if on a real physical, basic level, I mean, our DNA that's in our bodies, how many generations old is that? And that's all about containing information. So it's how can we not be connected to our ancestors?
Well, for us in Jewish people in Europe, it was cut off, you know, in the Second World War, and so we don't know what our DNA
right where we came from, where because we came we've from. Lost the historical record
exactly
of it.
So we have to reclaim that, and I think that for all of us we have to reclaim it, because all humans are native to their land. It's not that just there is native people. Right. We are all native of this earth, and we all need to find our connection to our ancestor work and to their wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We can't disregard their wisdom. That wisdom, that teaching that they were trying to bring back to us,
mm-hmm.
is what kept human race for so many hundreds of thousands of years alive.
Absolutely.
You know, medicine and science, what we call science today, is pretty relatively young.
Yes.
It's you know, medicine as we know it is only 200 years old.
Right. I always kind of laugh when people talk about, you know, quote unquote, traditional medicine versus alternative medicine. And the truth is, alternative medicine is really the real traditional medicine thousands of years old. And what we consider modern medicine is actually more alternative medicine, is only 200 years old.
That's right. And you know, I just finished writing the first the manuscript for a new book that will come out next year, and it's really talks about that. It's about the return of the shamanic healing and the failure of the hit and run medicine that we are experiencing as the real thing, you know.
Right.
But there is a rise in consciousness and need for people all over the world, that they are looking for alternative to the real way of healing,
right.
And healing is the mind, body, and spirit. It's not just injections and pills,
right?
And you may want to think about that. The first aspirin was less than 100 years old.
Yes.
And it was really evolved through using some plants and some oil companies' product that created the pills. I don't know if you know the history of pills.
No.
You may want to look it up because it's very interesting. Because originally when pharmacies, when doctors were starting to heal people, they weighed the person, they knew the person, and they created personalized medicine for each person.
Right.
It wasn't, you could not buy it off the shelf.
Right.
It is a latest invention.
Right.
And in our mind, our modern mind, because of the way we market things, we take medicine that is maybe not necessarily exactly for you.
Not
tailor-made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous healing is tailor-made for each person.
Right. I'm mostly familiar with it sort of on the Chinese medicine side, since in the Wellness Center we have acupuncturists and my wife is Chinese. And, you know, traditionally in China, it's like you went to the Chinese medicine doctor and he created a specific formula for you with this herb and that root, and then you took it home and you boiled it and you drank this sort of bitter liquid. But it was like specific for you, and it wasn't for anybody else. And so this whole idea of like mass marketing a cure for something is really antithetical to traditionally the way medicine was practiced, which is how everyone is an individual, because we are all individuals, and everybody's body chemistry and makeup and environment and what they eat and everything is different. So just this idea of like that we can make something the same for everybody is really kind of silly.
Well, you can see it in not just in medicine, but you can see it in everywhere. McDonald's is the same everywhere you go. If you buy it in China or you buy it in Israel and the United States, it's the same McDonald's.
Yes.
And American people would not go into foreign hotels with strange names, but they want to go to specific Best Western or to to Hilton, wherever they go.
Oh my God, disgusting!
So there is a familiarity and comfort in cookie cutter medicine, but it's not necessarily good for you.
Yes, exactly. Not necessarily appropriate. Okay, let us take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's start talking about like what your inspiration was for your latest book, The Gift of Shamanism. Mm-hmm. And let's maybe even talk about just a little bit of how you got into shamanism, just your first experiences, just to tease our people a little bit, okay? So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, with my guest, Itzhak Biri, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Itzhak Biri, shaman extraordinaire of New York City. So Itzhak, for our audience who aren't that familiar with you, how did you initially get involved in shamanism? I mean, it's not a typical study for most people in New York City.
For me, when I reached the tender age of 38.
just a lad.
I was already had an art career. I was a painter and a fine artist. I had the career maybe that I didn't want to, but I was showing in different galleries and museums and around the world. And I had a family with children, and I was doing advertising. I won quite a few awards in advertising. But there was something that I felt inside me that is dead, that I didn't know where. I asked myself a question, is that everything there is in this world? What's going on here? There was something like a big hole opened in myself, which I never experienced before.
Right.
And it took me quite a few years after that to seek something. And I read a book by Hank Wasserman, who is a wonderful shaman himself. Mm-hmm. And my eyes were opened for these experiences. And I found myself reliving some of my questions and answers, getting answers from his books. And it was just amazing, beautiful experiences. In many ways, what I get emails now from people who read my book, they get the same kind of experience, which is very rewarding for me. And he mentioned in this book a workshop he took with Michael Harner, who is the person that started the shamanic revolution, the neo shamanism, and I took his workshop when I came back from Hawaii, where I was, and I found myself going to places I never knew exist. You know, the unseen worlds,
right.
And I found myself able to heal people, or at least bring information to people that personally, I would never be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Logically, you would not have access to that kind
of information. Without entering into trance or doing the shamanic journey work.
Right.
And that led me to do a workshop with John Perkins, who later on became the economic hitman.
Yes. Yes.
And I went with John to Ecuador. And on a trip. And in that trip, we were going from shamans to shamans. But before the trip began, two of my friends went on our own, and we end up finding a shaman who became very important and instrumental into in my life, Don Jose Joaquin Pineda, from Iluman. Had an amazing experience, a visionary experience with him. And I came back a year and a half later, and I had a spiritual initiations with him as he was doing his healing. And then for the next few years, I was studying with him, not studying in the sense of getting an MBA in college.
Not getting your shaman degree, right?
No, I didn't get that. I was initiated by him a few years later, but it was more apprenticeship program. Wow. I mean, I was basically assisting him.
Right.
Doing hundreds of healing, because he used to come here to New York for 3 months in the spring, 3 months in the fall, and I assisted him in everything he did, and slowly he gave me more and more roles in the actual healing.
Right.
And you know, you start when you study with a shaman, it's not necessarily you sit and write notes. You go and to have lunch with that person, and he talks to you. It's more about relationship and how, because I never really ask questions. It's not something you do in shamanism. you just watch and watch, you see what he does and what the effects of the process. And that's how I learned. And then I met another shaman, Ipu Piara, when he was from Brazil, from the Uruwawabu tribe, people of the stars. And I was apprenticing, working with him for 12 years. I took groups to Brazil and to the Rio Negro, and I worked with many different tribes there, and together with Jose Joaquin. So, and then in 1997, I established with a group of people the New York Shamanic Circle, and that enabled me to bring indigenous shamans to New York, and we did almost a monthly workshop with different shamans from all over the world, from Eskimos to Native Americans to Peruvian, Ecuadorian, African. Chilean, African. So there was a lot of and I brought people who I wanted to study with. So.
It was like, oh, this one sounds interesting. Let's get him to come to New York.
That's
so
true.
From him.
I brought people from the Philippines because I really wanted to. There's a big Filipino community here, and I really felt that it's so important to give them the pride in their tradition.
Their own traditions,
So I brought two Filipino healers, and we brought the Filipino community here to meet them to have a... So the New York Shamanic Circle is really more about building a community, building home for people that they can come and share their experiences without being laughed at or...
And I mean, nowadays, I feel things are a little bit... People are more interested. It's much more accessible. You hear about stuff all the time. Back then, when you started it, it was still very much like, what are these people talking about? What's a shaman? You know, what do you mean going down to the jungles of Peru, of Brazil, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful because at that time it says shaman, what is it? Now it's
sounds like a Hebrew word.
Well, yes, but now it's you know, everybody heard about ayahuasca, everybody heard about San Pedro, everybody heard about other plant medicine. There's so much more activities in New York City now about with shamans and shamanism and alternative healing. So it becomes mainstream, and it's beautiful. It's really, I feel very rewarded to know and to see that a lot of my students are now doing healing. A lot of my students create their own shamanic circles, and it really spreads. And that's the beauty of it, because really what we want everybody to understand that they are as shamans.
Yeah.
There is no group of people, elite group of people who are shamans, that we are all have the ability to become shamans. We all have dreams. We all have visions. We all have the ability to speak kindly to people. We all have the ability to hug and kiss people and give them the comfort and the love that they deserve.
Yeah.
So these are all a product of being a shaman. And so but when you take the responsibility of your shamanism, your shamanistic ability, you become responsible. You can't say that somebody did it to me.
Right.
You have to take responsibility for your healing and for your action, because every action you do reflect, as we know, in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. I mean, and it's such a pleasure having you here, because, you know, you have been so instrumental in growing the community here in New York City. And I think it's really important, because if you go to California, stuff like this is very common. But also it's somehow I feel it's not taken as seriously. But when something like this comes to New York, New York being just sort of the central hub of culture and community and communication, that when something gets established here, it really spreads throughout the world.
Well, New York is it's a hardcore city.
Yeah,
everybody here is stressed. Everybody here have no time to close their eyes and meditate.
Yeah.
And even if they do it, they do it exactly the 20 minutes that you know. So here it's even more needed to bring this relationship that we have with the elements and with the weather, with ourselves and the environment. And shamanism is really about that. It's about your relationship to the four directions.
Yes.
It's your relationship to the four elements.
Yes.
To the weather, to your community. So it is about developing relationship. It's about walking, you know, by a homeless person and not saying, this is not my problem. This is somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
Or opening your heart, developing relationship.
Yeah.
That's the core of this work, because when you open your heart, when you have relationship with trees, you're not going to be so happy to cut the trees.
Right.
When you have a relationship with people, you would not take away their health insurance or their rights to decide how they want to live their life.
Right.
It's when you stop having relationship, that's when when your heart closes, and that's where evil spirit as a whole, you know, that's another subject, but that's where evil spirit really wins.
Right. Yeah, it's when we... when we stop seeing our fellow human being as our brothers and sisters, right? And when we stop seeing the nature around us as something that supports us and enables us to have the life that we have, when we get cut off from that, like, that's when we really lose our spirit and we lose our ability to connect. And it's so important. We're going to take a break in a second. I just want to start touching upon, you've authored a few books already, right? Two.
Yeah.
So what was the, sort of the inspiration for Gift of Shamanism?
Well, when I started my path, I met a reader, a tarot and crystal reader, reader, named Frank Andrews, who is quite famous here in New York from the era of Warhol and all.
Yeah.
He became a very good friend of mine. And when I came first to see him, he says, I see pages in the air. And I said, you're going to write a book. And I said, me? A book? That's impossible. First, I don't speak English. I don't know how to write. I found all these excuses. He says, no, you're going to write. He says, write down whatever you experience. And I did. I followed him and I started to write these amazing experiences that happened to me. Mm-hmm. All this book, The Gift of Shamanism, is really about experiences that I had in the unseen world that materialize in this world. So how the unseen world influence directly our life here, that they're totally together. You can't separate this just because we don't see doesn't mean that they are not true or they don't influence us.
Or that's not present,
So it's stories from past life experiences. It's stories of how messages from dream come to influence our life. It's messages of shamanic journeys and deja vus. And so there's a lot of different stories like that. And I wrote them in many ways because I wanted to prove myself that I'm not crazy.
just to make sure, like, this really is all real. Yeah. All right, wonderful. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's maybe talk about some of those messages and some of the lessons that you've learned, even just in writing the book and capturing that information, okay? Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest is Itzhak Beery, our famous New York shaman. So everyone, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
Are you looking for a show where people talk about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Well, then you have come to the right place because the Rob and Callie Show is doing just that. For the last 10 years, Rob and I have been having our own version of Sunday morning therapy sessions on the phone, and now we're bringing it to the radio.
So tune in and call in live Wednesdays 8 to 8:30 on talkradio.nyc.
And that's Eastern Standard Time, so join us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Quick shout out to Orna. Ah, nice to see you watching us on Facebook, Orna. Valerie, Gregory, Slavica. Ah, some dear friends. Thank you all for tuning in on Facebook. And yes, for those just listening, if you want a video and see what Itzhak looks like here in studio, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingalternative, and you should see our live stream. I'm so glad this is working out. So it's like we were talking before about, you know, how the unseen world affects sort of what we see. And, you know, the truth is, if scientifically even you look at things, we only see a very small spectrum of light with our physical eyes, that there's actually a lot more stuff going on than we perceive with our physical eyes. And even our brains, what registers consciously in our brains, is only a very tiny percentage. I think I've heard, like, they did some study, like, we take in something like 2 billion bits of information a second, yet only 2,000 bits of information actually registers consciously. So there's actually quite a lot going on that we're not really perceiving. So it actually does make sense that there is more to this world than what we're experiencing through our five senses. And if there is a lot going on, like, yeah, it can actually affect our day-to-day life.
Well, if you take, for instance, the bee's eyes or the fly, the fruit fly eyes.
Right.
They have the capacity of seeing much more than human eyes. They don't see the same world that we do. No. Even cats or dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd in the last workshop that I was talking to the students there, I told them, just look at yourself as the most primitive creature who have a very limited ability to perceive the world.
Mm-hmm.
All the other animals all around us see the world in a totally different way.
Right, right.
And just because we are so limited, that doesn't mean that what we see is true.
Right.
In other words...
Or is the complete truth.
Of course.
Yeah.
The fruit fly see colors in such a gamut that we cannot even imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what they see because they have so many more cells in their eyes.
Yeah.
So for us, it's such a terrible assumption that we know.
Right.
We really don't know.
Right.
Our smell sense is very weak. Mm. Take any dog, he's better than us.
Yes, absolutely.
He can smell for thousands of meters or yards away and hear.
Yes.
We don't hear.
Yes.
We really very limited.
Yes.
We are handicapped creatures.
Yes. Yes.
And we have attempt to rule the universe.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, right? We think we you know, in the West especially, we're so stuck in our heads and we think we know everything, yet we're really not even perceiving 1% of what's going on around us.
Absolutely. And I think that really, as I go personally into this journey, and I'm doing it for 20 years now or 21 years, today I know that I don't know. Really, I don't know. I mean really I'm touching a little bit of knowledge.
Right.
It's not that I can't talk about it for hours and hours and hours, and I know a little bit, but the understanding that I truly don't know.
Yeah.
We are touching, we don't know how many dimensions there are for the universe. We don't know where this wisdom came from.
Right.
We don't know where the iCloud comes from, how we connect to it.
Right.
We don't know what the influence of our ancestor on ourselves. We hardly even, I mean, I have the gift of seeing, so I can see people's thoughts or I can see them.
What do you mean by that, the gift of seeing?
Well, I can perceive.
Okay.
What we call spirit.
Okay.
Or holograms.
Okay.
So around each of us there are spirits. We are not alone.
No. I understand it's pretty crowded out there.
It's pretty crowded for some people.
Yeah.
That's why we need to do La Limpia or cleansing ceremony to remove negative energy and to remove ancestry blockages and all that.
Can I put you on the spot for a second? You know what I'm going to ask, right?
About your grandmother.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask who's around me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's there.
My grandmother. I'm with my mom's grandma, my mom's mom, and my dad's mom. My mom's mom.
Your mom's. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Tell her I say hi. You know, I've actually never met any of my grandparents. They all passed before my parents married.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's all there.
Yeah.
The fact that some people see visually like I do, and some people have more of a feeling, intuition.
Right, right. The different clairs, right? Yeah. The clairaudience, clairsentience, clair... Like, I consider myself claircognizant. Like, I just know things sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know other people, they're more clairsentient. They feel things,
exactly.
See things.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but the ability, the intuitive ability is built in our genes. And it's built in our genes because of our own survival.
Yeah.
We would not have that if we didn't need this way of perceiving the world for our own physical survival on this earth.
Right.
We need to know where danger come from.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We need to know the weather, right, to predict the weather. It's part built in with our senses.
Yeah.
The fact that we don't
pay attention to it most of the time.
Yeah. That's doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right. Right. So like the subtitle of your book, Gift of Shamanism, is Visionary Power, Ayahuasca Dreams and Journeys to Other Realms. So that's, I guess, part of the visionary power, right? That when we can learn to perceive more than what's just appears to be physically in front of us, that actually gives us power to empower us to live better lives, to be safer, to know a good course of action to follow.
Yes, and that is very important. You know, also once you start to perceive the world in a larger way,
mm-hmm,
you start to develop relationship, mm-hmm, with the energy of the trees, the energies, right, of the mountains, the energy of water, the energy of your ancestors.
Yeah.
You become integrated. It's not just you against the universe. Mm. And I think that that's really a disease of the Western world.
Yeah,
that we think that we are separate from the world. We are integrated. We are one animal together with the rest. Our future is ingrained with all of us, everything around us.
Right.
It's not separated. We cannot control we cannot control the weather.
Mm, right.
We can
right.
destroy,
yes,
but we can't control.
Right.
And I think that that's when you start to have this responsibility, then you're responsible for any recycling, every tree that you cut, everything that, right, you know, every mine that you dig in, every pollution that you throw. You live with the earth.
Right. Right. And you know, it's really by not being conscious and being connected to the planet, we're really only hurting ourselves. I mean, we're hurting other animals too, but ultimately, like when I hear people say, oh, we've got to save the planet, I always kind of say to myself, no, the planet is going to be around long after we are. We've got to save the environment for ourselves, because if we don't, we're going to make things so toxic that us as human beings are not going to be able to survive.
Well, you can see it now. I mean, the rise of cancer.
Yes.
The rise of diabetes. You know, the diabetes now is from 2008 until now. It's only 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's quadruple.
Quadruple. It's crazy.
Now, you ask yourself, why? Because of all the processed food, because of the GMO, because of all the Monsanto, and because of the food industry is our biggest enemy of our health.
Right.
And the people who are sitting in those corporations, they don't believe that their children will eat the same crap that they give us to eat.
Yeah, yeah. I can't understand it. You know, the whole concept that I learned a long time ago, even from a sort of a self-centered point of view, the idea of enlightened self-interest. You know, we think like, oh, these people are just selfish, but it's like we get cut off from the fact that when we do what's right for other people, we're doing what's right for ourselves as well. Yet somehow we think we're immune to the effects of what we're doing.
Well, I think it's a part of our responsibility too. We have to stop eating this kind of food.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, why do you have to eat this? All this garbage you buy in supermarkets.
Right.
Stop it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
If you stop it, then these big corporations will change.
Right.
You know, those people who sit in the corporations, they have a lot of pressure too.
Right.
They have to because you buy their stocks, they have to perform.
Right.
So change your way. We have to change our way.
Vote with your wallet, I say all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Vote with your wallet. We just got a couple of minutes before break, but I did want to touch upon the next subtext, which is ayahuasca dreams. Mm-hmm. As we kind of briefly mentioned during the break when people couldn't hear us. And you said you have sort of a a little bit of a controversial attitude towards ayahuasca, because it's becoming very popular. I interviewed this guy who was like an advertising executive who went down to Peru and had an ayahuasca ceremony and totally changed his life and this and that. And it's, I just want you to contribute your perspective, because so many people are really talking about it now.
I'd be happy to.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'll tell you, we'll go out to break and we'll do that right when we come back. Everybody, you're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and storytelling? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your brand new radio host on talkradio.nyc. I've been professionally writing and drawing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for over 15 years. Catch my new show, Secrets of the Sire, Fridays at 11 a.m., and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com right now.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been talking this hour with Itzhak Biri, New York shaman extraordinaire. So before we went to break, I mentioned about ayahuasca and that you have sort of a different take on it compared to a lot of shamans out there. So I'm curious, what's your perspective on that particular plant?
Well, for the first thing is that ayahuasca is not shamanism.
No, it's plant medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, I do shamanism, and they say, I've taken ayahuasca, that doesn't mean that you are a shaman.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
The second thing is that you have to understand that the people who administer ayahuasca, they are not shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Or most of them are not shamans.
Right.
They are ayahuasqueros, which means they are trained to hold the visions,
mm-hmm,
while they give other people ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they are healers.
Mm.
So if something happened, mm-hmm, during ayahuasca ceremony, right, they don't know how to handle it.
Right, right.
You know, I was offered to become ayahuasquero and I refused, mm, in Brazil.
Ah.
That's not part of my tradition.
I see.
But you want to do it, ayahuasca ceremony with a shaman, with a real shaman,
mm-hmm,
not just the guy who can pump music,
yeah,
and give you some songs.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a person that actually can move energy and change energy, and they can do the La Limpia as you're doing the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
That he can pull the negative energy, the poison arrows. Mm-hmm. They can walk into your energy field and pull what you came here for, healing.
Mm-hmm.
Ayahuasca is about healing. It's not about vision.
Right, right.
So a lot of people are coming because it's very popular, because some rock stars and models took that, and it's very famous. But I think that they come for the wrong reason. It's,
yes.
What my take on it is that, and I've done these ayahuasca ceremonies, mm-hmm, mostly with healers, with shamans,
mm-hmm,
is that we in the West are inflicted with the biggest disease is our greed.
Yeah.
And it's greed is not just money.
No.
Greed is also spiritual.
Yeah.
And I think that what we are importing to the indigenous world is our greed.
Yeah.
We are coming there. We are selling so much money to Peruvian and Ecuadorians and other Colombian shamans or like shamans that it's changed the ecosystem, the economics of the tribes. What it does is that a person that never needed money in tribes, all of a sudden come back from the United States with a pocket full of $50,000. What the hell is going to do? Sorry. What is going to do with $50,000 in the forest?
Right.
Or in a community by the forest?
Right.
So a lot of them are changing the way the community function. All of a sudden, there's a rich man and poor relatives.
Right.
And I know a few of those who divorce, broke the family down. They create jealousy. They create envy in their communities. So every cup you drink have a price. And it's not the price that you pay for this, the ayahuasca that give you the ayahuasca. It's the price is what the greed, the monetary greed that the Peruvian shamans or ayahuasquero does when he comes back home.
Right, right. The effect, the broader effect of the exchange.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Every time that you drink ayahuasca here, and there are some people here who drink 80 times, 60 times, 100 times, that they drink every week, every other week.
That's crazy.
Every cup you drink, your responsibility is not just for your spiritual enlightenment.
Right.
Your responsibility is for the forest. Your responsibility is how much ayahuasca or how much kapi, how much the vine is cut. It takes hundreds of years to grow a vine.
Oh, really?
How many chacarona leaves you cut to get the DMT?
Yeah.
There are some places that they can't plant anymore. So you are destroying the forest. You are destroying the eco-society, the economics of the villages. And when I was in the Rio Negro in Brazil, one of the shaman from the Tucanos came to us and he asked us to participate in a ceremony because he said that the spirit of ayahuasca came to the elders in the Amazon and it says that it's very angry. I thought it was because of us, because we came to, we disrespected somehow the spirit of ayahuasca. But he said, no, no, it's not nothing with you. It's us. We don't respect the spirit of ayahuasca. We abuse it. And you know, the shaman that I work with him there in our group had a Rolex watch and they have a boat. He was a tour guide. And after he did the afternoon ceremony for us, he went and took his boat full of ayahuasca, still tripping, went across the river and did another 40 or 50 people a ceremony there. This guy made thousands of dollars in one day. What did he do with the money? What did he contribute to the whole community?
I see, and
the other part is that when you take ayahuasca, ayahuasca give you a message.
Right.
It helps you. It guides you.
Right.
Every message is very important.
Right.
So it takes time to integrate, to understand what the message is.
Right.
And for myself,
and that's one of the big issues these days is there's not enough support on integration. And that's one of the things. And what I'm trying to do is it's really about building community and integration, because you have this peak spiritual experience, but how are you integrating it into your day-to-day life?
And many people don't.
Right.
Now, I'm still integrating the same message that I received in 1997.
Wow.
And this is a life work.
Yes.
And so a person that does that 80 times.
Yeah.
What he or she takes out of that?
Yeah.
It it is a total spiritual greediness. Right. And I think that you cannot be enlightened by drinking ayahuasca 80 times more than you can take it with one.
Yeah.
And I think that another part is that ayahuasca traditionally is a medicine to clear your digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't pay attention to that because right. what it does, it's really about removing parasites and bacteria from your from your stomach and digestive system. And that will change or create health in the person. So you want to tell me that you that live in the Western world with the refrigeration and fresh food right. needs 80 times to wash your system?
Right.
It's
right.
depleting.
Right.
So I spoke about it in a conference in London mm-hmm. with our plant conference, and the people who organized this event were very upset and very angry.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I think that it's this voice has to be heard.
Yes.
Because it has become so popular. And talking about popularity, you know, in Peru today, you go to the market mm-hmm. and you buy prepackaged ayahuasca with
yeah.
a bowl.
Yeah, yeah, I heard. I heard now.
I have one.
It. Oh my God, it's amazing.
So,
believe it.
I mean, it becomes,
where's the sacredness, right? It becomes mass market and it's no longer a sacred ceremony. And I think that's where a lot of this, like this greed, it loses the sacredness of what's really supposed to happen in ceremony. I mean, a ceremony is supposed to be a sacred event, but if you're just going in and tripping and you're not honoring the spirit, you're losing the whole point. We've only got a couple of minutes left. It's been wonderful having you here. I'm just wondering, what do you hope people will get from reading your book, Gift of Shamanism? What are you looking to inspire in people?
What I really want them to get is that in spite of themselves, mm-hmm. there is a shaman residing inside them.
Yes.
And I'd like them to, through my stories, to reconnect with that ability mm-hmm. to connect to the other sides, to the unseen world, to all these mm-hmm. spirits that are waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, to develop relationship, a deeper relationship to the environment and for the children and families and communities.
Mm-hmm.
But first, you have to own your shamans within you. Because we are all shamans. Yeah. We all have the ability and we all have the responsibility
right.
to take care of the environment,
right.
our families, our communities, yeah. and ourselves.
Each other. Yeah, ourselves and each other. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Itzhak, for taking time out of your busy schedule. The shamanic circles here in New York, they're still going on, right?
Yes, we are 19 years.
Great.
Yeah, it's nyshamaniccircle.org.
Okay, wonderful. And if people yeah. want to get a hold of you or learn more about you?
They can Google my name or they can they can go to itzhakbiri.com.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you once again.
You're very
it's
welcome.
Been a pleasure having you here. I hope you guys enjoyed this special broadcast. Thank you, Orna. I see those wonderful hearts from the Facebook stream. I'm glad you listened in. And everybody, I appreciate, as always, everybody listening online and through the live stream. Once again, for those who missed my announcement last hour, I will be giving a TED Talk on April 26th at TEDx Upper West Side. Please go to TEDxUpperWestSide.com. You get a discount if you get your tickets before April 20th. And actually, if anyone's interested, tonight, April 14th, is the local Manhattan Holistic Chamber of Commerce meeting starting at 6 o'clock, and you can go to ManhattanHolisticChamber.com, I believe is the website, or just Google Manhattan Holistic Chamber of Commerce if you'd like to come. Thank you all for listening. It's been a pleasure. I will talk to you all next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and storytelling? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your brand new radio host on talkradio.nyc. I've been professionally writing and drawing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for over 15 years. Catch my new show, Secrets of the Sire, Fridays at 11 a.m., and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com right now.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with Millikue Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.